the church, and it's so great to have you here with us today on what we call our Heart for the House Sunday, which is a once a year day. And I met someone in the first service that we have, and they were first time visitor, and I said to them, I said, oh, you know, it was our Heart for the House Sunday. It's our once a year offering time that we pledge over the next months to contribute into unfolding legacy that God's got here. And I said, oh, what a Sunday to come. You know, how do you feel? And he said, no, please stop right there. He said, it was actually so helpful. I said, oh, tell me more. And they said, actually, it just kind of gave us a little bit of insight into what the church is about and what the vision of the church is. And so he said, you couldn't have picked a better Sunday for us to have come. So if it's your first time, you're in for a great Sunday. It's going to be amazing, because that's what they told me in the 9 a.m. So it's incredible. And so can we pray? And then we'll just get into the word. Father, we just thank you that we can just sit around your word this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to do what we do and gather and just allow our spirits and hearts to be impacted by your truth. Holy Spirit, come and multiply that seed and may it yield a great harvest in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So as I said, it's a Heart for the House Sunday, and it's what we call our Pleasure Commitment Sunday. And it's for those that consider Fusion home. And so this is for those that see this church as their local home. And so if you're not in that place or you don't really see that yet, then that's cool. You can just watch and just enjoy the morning today. But this is an opportunity where we actually pledge. Over this last week, we've been fasting and praying and really asking God for faith response as to how we're going to partner with some of the things. You're going to hear a little bit more about that in a little while. And you have all of these nice brochures on your chairs as well, and we've emailed people out and check out our website, so there's no excuse not to know what's going on. It's all out there. But our vision as a church is simply this, and I think it's good to remind ourselves of this because this is kind of the DNA. And what I'm going to share with you is not something that's extra Bible. This is all Bible stuff, but we've just tried to articulate it in a way that gives us clarity about what we're about and why we do what we do. And essentially, we are a legacy-building church. And so what does that mean? That means that we don't just want to live for the here and now. To me, church should not just be about your experience here today. Yes, we want to make sure that you really enjoy God and do, but there needs to be something further that we're building. There's a legacy that we want to see unfold that's going to be impacting for generations to come. And so we are a legacy-building church whose heart it is to help people. I think church should be a place that helps people, doesn't hinder them. We want to help you, and we want to help you do a number of things. We want to help you, number one, to know and enjoy God. Not just know about God, but actually know him in a personal way and enjoy him just as he enjoys you. Not endures you. Sometimes I think he does endure me. But he enjoys us, and he enjoys you, and he wants us to actually know what that living, vibrant relationship looks like. Then, secondly, we then want to help you discover your purpose, because I hope you realize, I mean, you just have to be in this church for a little while and realize that everyone has a God-given purpose. There's not a single person that's excluded from that. And the most content and fulfilled and joyful and secure that you're ever going to be is when you're on about that which God has created you to be on about. And there's no greater joy than what that is. And for everyone, it's a different thing. But then we also, thirdly, then don't want you just to know your purpose. We want to help you make a difference. Yeah. And I believe that God wants the church to be a place that makes a difference wherever we go to. This is just one gathering we have, but then we all scatter out there into the world, into different spheres. And we want to see people equipped and enabled to actually go make a difference wherever it is that they go for the kingdom. And so that's our heartbeat. That's what we're on about. And so our Heart for the House Sunday that we have, or period that we have, that's got its DNA behind it. And our theme for this year has been New Home, New Adventures. And this time last year, we were talking about facilities, and now we stand in the actual living reality of that here in the hub, and it's just been an amazing God journey. And so we themed this year New Home, New Adventures, because we said, God, you've given us a new home, so there's got to be new adventures. And there certainly has been an adventure this year. COVID hits, everything changed, and we thought it was going to go one way, and every other church found out the same. But we can see God's hand in it, because if we had still been at the school like we were last year, we wouldn't have had anywhere to meet. Everything would have been exclusively online. But because of God's provision, we've been able to do this plus that, and we're reaching more people than ever as a result. And many other churches are doing exactly the same thing, and the gospel's getting out there in the most incredible way, which I think is amazing. And so we do that. But you know, the thing with COVID is that it gets you to live in the here and now. Have any of you felt that? I've certainly felt that sometimes it's hard to just get beyond just looking at what's just in front of us. But as we've been looking over the last weeks, we've seen how God's instruction and desire for us is to be living and have our eyes of faith set on that unshakable kingdom whose architect and builder is God. But we're called to be those that live with the eyes of faith, don't just live in the here and now. That the here and now can be a reality, but as believers, we're called to live a different way. We're not called to live with eyes just fixed on the here and now, because that gets you to live small. That gets you to live restricted. That gets you to live inhibited in some way. But God wants us to have an expansive life. Just like Paul, when he wrote to the churches, he was able to say, even though I'm in chains, he says, man, rejoice. He says, God's word cannot be chained. There was a freedom and a liberty that he had because his eyes of faith were set. And so over the season, we've been fasting and praying over this week to say, God, what is our faith response to be to all of that? And so there's three areas to our heart for the house thing, and I say it's all detailed in here, and we're going to hear from some of the team a little bit later with regards to some of the specifics that we're actually looking at with regards to that. But there's three aspects: our legacy, which is essentially about trying to we want to secure an asset, an investment asset, as a step towards ultimately having our own home. This property is leased. We have a lease for 5 years with an option to renew for another five. So we've got a good 10 years here if we so choose to. But we're trusting God that we could actually have a property. Last year at this time, we started negotiating next door to purchase our life center, which is where our youth and kids and various ministry groups meet, and our offices are right next door. And we started negotiating with the landlord, and he then put the brakes on that because there was stuff going on in his world. And he said, please, can you? But during that process, he said, a building of that size would cost us about $1 million to purchase. We would need a commercial deposit of about $350,000 in order to do that. We currently have about $115,000 quarantined specifically towards a deposit for that. And we're trusting God that we're going to be able to be in a position and putting our faith out this year that we're going to be able to get that commercial deposit and be able to invest in a commercial property that's part of the unfolding legacy that God wants us to have. That our kids and our kids' kids will be able to say, hey, I'm so thankful for that generation, because they actually stepped out in faith. And then another part of that is that we want to see campuses, other campuses happening, because I think in this COVID era, having large church gatherings seems pretty far off. And so we've got to have a new strategy, a new way to actually reach more people. And so one of the ways, I think, with the technology that we now have with online streaming, is that we could actually have campuses around our city and elsewhere that could actually help get the gospel out there. And so that's another area that as a board and as a church leadership that we're saying that's something certainly over the next couple of years that we want to be part of and reaching more people. And so that's our legacy. And then we have our need, which is about this year's focusing on the youth and the kids, and you're going to hear more about that. And then we also have our world, which is making an impact with the care packages I spoke about. We're going to hear a little bit more about those later. But the summary of what we've done in this COVID era is that we've sent out about 50 packages that have impacted about 600 people at $100 a package. Is about $5,000 worth of blessing that's just gone out there to the community with no strings attached, no comeback at all, just saying, we just want to be a blessing in this time. We just want to show you the heart and touch of Jesus. And I'm saying, God, may that side of our church increase more and more and more. I think it's something when you begin to live in that side of just being a blessing, God loves that. And so I just want to share a few words around out of a text here. And so I wonder if you could just turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and then I'm going to get a panel up here of our team, and we're going to just talk through some practicalities. But I just want to mention just a few points here, because Paul, in this text to the church in Corinth, he kind of speaks about what I've entitled grace-filled generosity. Grace-filled generosity. And you know, sometimes when you talk about money, people can get a bit funny about money. But he very skillfully just kind of allows us to connect with what is the heart, what's the vision behind this kind of thing. And so let's pick it up. And the first thing that we find that he does is that he shares the testimony. And so let's read from verse 1 through to verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it says, now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace, there's that word, that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. So there he uses this example of another church and says, guys, what I'm doing here, I don't want to try and manipulate you. I want to inspire you. I want to inspire you to live this way, because here's the reality. With this Heart for the House pledge, and our pledge season runs through till April next year, and we kind of say, what are you really feeling in God that you want to pledge? But here's what you can do during this season. You can choose to do nothing. And you know what? You're free to do that. There's no obligation. There's no reason for you to have to be involved. If you so choose not to, we'll say, hey, just be free, be released. Or you can choose to give within your ability, which is also a great response. You can say, man, this is what I can afford to give. This is what I want to do. Or we can do like this church here, which says they gave beyond their ability. There was a sense that they went to a faith place, and I think we saw a something of that happen last year in the most wonderful way, beyond their ability. They added super to their natural. They added faith. And the Bible says faith pleases God. You see, faith is a spirit, it's an attitude, it's a deep-seated confidence that we have in God, His nature, and His promises. It's seeing the future and what He wants and saying, God, I want to co-labor with you to see that become a reality. And so that's the first thing He does. He shares a testimony. But secondly, He then highlights the hearts and the focus. And He says this in verse 4. He says, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave of themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he'd earlier made at a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in the love we've kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Isn't it interesting that it says that they urgently pleaded to be involved? They urgently pleaded, please can we be part of this thing? And I love that. I think, man, that challenges me. Urgently pleaded. And why did they urgently plead? Because they saw the privilege. They saw it as a privilege. They said, man, it's such a privilege that we can be part of this vision. We can be part of what God is doing. We can sow into God's agenda. And so they urgently, and it says they gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then to Paul, but first to God. And I think that's really important to understand, because what we're asking you is, we're not saying, hey, don't give to a fund, don't give to a building, don't give to a leader, don't do any of that stuff. We want you to give to God's vision. We want you to see what God sees. We want you to see people who have changed lives. We want you to see those that aren't even here yet. We want you to see lost people who will find hope and salvation. We want you to see broken people who are going to find healing and freedom. We want you to see young people and kids who are on fire for Jesus. We want you to see families being reconciled and healed and healthy. We want you to see older people who are living their best days. We want you to see people who are free from addictions. We want you to see people who are free from sexual brokenness. We want you to see people who find hope where they thought there was none. We want you to see marriages that are strong and healthy and God-honoring. We want you to see a community that's impacted by the love of Jesus. We want you to see a legacy that is far beyond just what you see in the here and now. When we catch that, then we will urgently plead to be part of the thing. And so Paul says in verse 7, just as you excel in everything else, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And I love that. It's a grace. It's something that is, God says, hey, I don't give because I have to. I give because I delight to. I give because I know how much God's done for me and what a privilege it is to be able to be part of that. The third thing is that we see Paul does is that he brings a challenge. He says in verse 8, he says, I'm not commanding you. So he's not twisting their arms. He's not doing any of that. He says, but he's trying to communicate the vision and the heart that's behind it. And so no one's commanding anyone to do anything here. No one's going to look over your shoulder or check anything to see what you have done or haven't done. But Paul does say, he says, what I want to do is I want to test. And he says, what I want to do is I want to test the sincerity of your love. Isn't that interesting? He's talking about money, but he's saying, I want to test the sincerity of love because I want to compare it and see it to response of others. And Paul was able to say that because he himself had been tested to the sincerity of his love. On the road to Damascus, he thought he was doing God, good things for God. He thought he was advancing the kingdom in some part when he was persecuting the church. But the reality was he had an encounter with Jesus on the road. And we spoke about that about a month ago. And he has this incredible encounter. And he realizes that what he thought was love was not love. And as he has encounter with Jesus and discovers the great love that God has for him, his heart in turn is impacted, and literally his life is turned around forever. And now that same Paul, who was persecuting the church, thinking he was loving God, is now actually the very advocate of the church and is now encouraging others and saying, guys, I want to test the sincerity of your love. How much do you love God's church and love him? You see, love is what love does. I can say that I love my wife, Jill, but the reality is, no matter how many times I say it, it's what I do that really matters. Yeah, right. When I actually begin to follow that through and see love is what love does. What we do shows what we value. And so as Paul's writing here and he's saying, man, this church is amazing. And then the fourth thing that he says, he reminds them about what Jesus has done for them. He says this in verse 9. He says, though he was rich, speaking about Jesus, yet for your sake, he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You see, it was for our sake that he left the splendor of heaven. It wasn't for his sake that he left heaven, it was for our sake. It was for your sake that he left heaven. It was for my sake that he left heaven. And so let's never forget what Jesus has done for us. Because I think when we understand, you know, I've been a Christian for 30 plus years. And may I never lose sight of the freshness of what he's done for me. May I never lose sight and become so comfortable with the fact that Jesus died for me that it becomes like an almost a historical event. No, Jesus, I want to be reminded of that today. Because when I understand that, then I'll be able to respond from that and understand that I have been blessed in order to be a blessing. And God delights to do that. And so he gave all so that you and I could have it all in terms of just heavenly blessing, so that you and I could impact all. And that's what he wants his church to be. That's what he wants us to be, is to be a place of impact, of legacy building impact for generations to come. And so let's excel in this grace of giving. Well, I want to just invite up, just to help kind of just ground this a little bit, I want to invite up just a team and some of our core team. So we're going to invite Jill and we're going to invite Reese and we're going to invite Daz up, and they're going to come join me, and we're going to just kind of talk around this a little bit and try and, you know, because you've heard a lot from me over this last little period, and so I thought it'd be great just to hear from them and just hear some of the stuff that we're actually talking about. So have a seat, guys, and which is cool. Let's welcome them, guys. Let's give them a round of applause. And kids are coming in as well. They're just coming. We've got the Fusion Kids there. Let's wave at them. That's awesome.
Good to see you.
We always love having them as part of this, because you talk about legacy. You've got to have the generations here. And so I think that's a good thing. But, you know, we're talking about, guys, good to have you. So we've got Reese, who heads up our kids ministries on our pastoral team. We have Jill, who's obviously on our pastoral team, my beautiful wife, and also helps oversee some of the community work that we're doing. We also, and everything else. And then we have Daz, who heads up our youth and is also on our pastoral team. And so it's great to have these guys. But guys, when we talk about this word legacy, and you know, it's a word that we use often. We use it many, many times. But I'd love to hear what that means for you when you're talking about your areas of ministry, what you're involved in the life of the church. Because I want to try and ground this a bit more for people so they understand what it is. I'd love to hear, what does that word conjure up and mean for you guys? So Daz, let's start with you.
Sure. Well, just to put into context, so Ignite Youth, we meet on a Friday night. On any Friday, there's about 50 kids that rock up, and probably more than 50% of those young people don't go to church.
Amazing.
You know, so in terms of legacy, just, you know, reaching the generations, you know what I mean? Not just impacting, you know, the here now, but actually those who are the future leaders of the church and of the world.
Fantastic. What about you, Reese? You work with the kids, and just amazing. It's wonderful that they'll be able to be in here today. But talk to us about, what does legacy mean?
Yeah, for us in the kids ministry, I guess it's twofold, because I'm always working to put myself out of a job. I want to make sure that our kids are getting the best, and that starts with our team. So really equipping our team to be able to do their best and step into their growth opportunities and step into things that God has for them. But also with our kids, it's helping them see that they're not bystanders. They're very much part of this church. They're very much part of the kingdom, and they very much have an influence now, because when we meet on a Sunday morning, we don't want them just to hear about God. We want them to hear from God. Yeah. So it's helping them see that for themselves.
And like, I think a cool picture here today, we had Riley up here on stage, who was one of our singers here in church, and she was in youth and had been in kids ministry as well, and just kind of cool just to see that legacy just unfolding, and here she is with her dad, who's on drums, and that's kind of something of what we see, which is really awesome, you know, that generational impact that's actually happening as well. What about you, Jill?
Well, I think in the community and the reach of the church, the legacy is us in pouring out and investing in what we can't see yet. And not waiting till we can see it to invest in it, but we're investing in faith. And for me, a picture this morning during worship, I had a picture of a lighthouse on the edge of the shores. And, you know, a lighthouse helps ships not crash into rocks. It helps ships find harbor. But it can't function with the light beam traveling and reflecting God until it's built. And so we're part of that. That's part of what legacy is. And I was just reminded, having Evie here in the service, that her great-great-grandfather had 10 kids, and he raised them all. He said, you need to make a difference for God. So you either serve him in ministry or you serve him in medicine to help heal people. And she's here as that, whatever it is, fifth or sixth generation, but it's because he had a legacy. My dad had a legacy. And so legacy for me is about what you're building into what you can't see, not waiting to see it. So for community-wise, I just think, who's that next person we're going to touch who's going to be like my great-grandfather?
The great thing about that community thing that we've been doing is, as I said a little bit earlier, we've, you know, all the packages that we've sent out, but there's been no strings attached, and it's kind of gone out. And what's been really encouraging has been some of the testimonies, which you can maybe just tell us about.
Yeah, so those packages, and I know you've seen them in pictures, but they are full of individual special items that go to community groups. We've sent them to police station, post office, the posties, like the big main post depot, to all the posties, to daycares, the government department. We sent them all over the place, and each and every one of them gets a note attached to them saying, we value and appreciate you for what you've been investing and taking care of our community. And they've gone to local businesses as well, and we've had so many responses back saying, wow, thank you. We didn't realize that someone noticed us. And I even had the privilege of my CEO, her son works for one of those organizations that got blessed with a hamper. And she came in, and she's not saved. And she came in and she said, I can't believe your church is taking time to value people. And I just said, that's you guys. Our interns have been amazing. They've had the privilege of doing that, packing that. And we want to build a team to do that during the week. But I just saw an opportunity to bring God's love and to tell people that they're seen and they're valued without any strings, because that's what Jesus would do.
And in some ways, I think it's a great example of earning the right to preach the gospel to them, in a sense, you know. And so we're doing this thing, and it's just been amazing here in the testimonies, and we're trusting for even greater influence and impact through that as well. But Reese, love to hear from you about what you think are just some of the opportunities when we're talking about legacy and some of the practical things that we want to do, investing into the kids, and I'll get Daz to follow on from you as well. But what are some of the things that we are looking at? What are some of the dreams that we've got for the kids?
Absolutely. And you know, I've been in kids ministry for 8 years now. We always try to give our kids the absolute best, and we've done wonders with the Life Center facility that we have. It was a blessing in itself, but we want to make sure that the kids are not just comfortable coming, not just okay to come, but we want to make sure they're excited to come and excited to invite their friends, because it's not just about them, it's about everyone else they know as well, because they have an impact wherever they go. So we want to make sure they're communicating that excitement in whatever they're doing. So we would love to deck out that Life Center. As soon as people rock up in the car park, they'd see the front door and they'd be pumped, ready to go, because they see the excitement happening outside. We want to turf that whole area. We want to put some equipment out there for the tots. We want to make sure our entranceway is equipped for families as well, for parents, so that we can make the check-in process more streamlined, and actually have some resources out there to help parents disciple their kids and know what's available to help them as well, and so that they know what we're teaching the kids as well. And I don't know about the kids over here. Do you guys love Lego?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Parents, you love Lego?
Yeah.
Come on, we want to build a Lego wall, okay? We want to have a wall of Lego that you can build out three-dimensionally. So just another way to engage the kids, engage us, and just have a lot of fun, really. So, yeah, there's so many things we can do, but that's just a few.
Cool.
Yes, sorry, I put mute. Anyways, just following on from that, we love Lego too, the youth, so we'll be definitely using that. But in terms of, you know, the money that the youth use, it will make a difference immediately. You know, just like we transitioned from the school to, you know, to the hub, downstairs on a Friday night, it doesn't look like how it looks right now. There's quite a bit of setup that takes place, and we actually need more space. We actually have small groups straight after the message on a Friday night, and we actually are running, outgrowing that space. And you know, God's kingdom is moving, okay, and it's growing. And it is so with the youth as well. So we actually would love a space. Like, I think we're building levels upon levels. You know, that's the dream. Hey, Pastor Matt, if you didn't know that. Actually, you know, make more room for the young people to actually own a space where they can call home and actually make a difference.
Yeah, and I think with the baby boom that we've had in the last couple of years in the church, and the COVID kids that are going to be coming out of this
COVID
season.
COVID kids, they're coming.
We definitely going to utilize that space for our tots, our young ones as well. So being able to build up on top of our current tots facility and create more space for kids to own, kids to worship, kids just to have fun, will just go such a long way across ministries.
Fantastic. Jill?
Well, I think... just both of those venues, even when we deck that out, it creates the opportunity for us to reach out into the community even more, because we've got these purpose-built places and we want to be the answer. We want to let people know that Jesus has the answer.
Yes.
The church is a place you can come to for hope and people who want to journey and partner and walk with you. And so I think that these facilities create that. And so we're really looking forward to that. We want to see our church multiply and, as Matt mentioned, have multiple campuses, because at the end of the day, that we're that legacy building church. We want to touch families, touch lives. We already host marriage courses, parenting courses. We did a parenting teens course, and we had people come from all different places last year because there wasn't anything like it. They wanted to be the best parents they could for their teens. And so there's so many things in the community. What we're doing with the packages, we want to extend that. We want to gather a group of people who want to be that light and touch our community and make a difference. And not just, we want the share package thing to grow, but we believe that that's the catalyst. That's right. As we're faithful with that, God, just like we were faithful last year and then this all happened, we believe that as we step out with God and step out on the water, that he's going to do some amazing community things.
So our theme for this year has been New Home, New Adventures. And obviously, as I said earlier, lots of new adventure. Wasn't quite what we thought, but it certainly has been an adventure. But I'd love to hear, in terms of your spheres, what is that, just very quickly, what does that conjure up? What does that look like for you? What are you trusting for? Reese, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think, as I said, being in kids for 8 years and transitioning to the Life Center was a big deal for us, something we've been praying for. And God said at the beginning of last year to me that he was going to take us into a new space, a new field, and that's just that. So it's just, you know, it's a promise delivered right there. And this year, he's really said about catching his heartbeat for the new space. And to be able to express that would be incredible. And one of the things that I just hone in on is with our kids, we're always looking for opportunities to grow them, to develop them, to give them opportunity to express themselves, to hear from God and do things. And, you know, so for example, like for the kids whose parents who serve, they're in double services, they're not just sitting there listening, they're actually participating, they're actually doing things. We've got kids running the games, running all the tech that's happening down there. A month ago, I had one of our young people, Amelia, I asked her, what do you want to do for the second service? And she said, do you need an assistant preacher? I was like, yes, I do. Yes, I really do. And without any prep whatsoever, she got up and spoke for 5 minutes about the life of Paul.
Awesome.
And it was on point, just incredible. So we would really love to formalize something like that around a mentoring for some of these kids who just have that hunger to grow and develop and know more about God and how that applies in their life. So we would really love to expand that.
What about you, Daz? We've got a few minutes, a few seconds.
Great.
There, but
tell us, sure, I'll be quick.
That's a hint.
Hint, yeah. All right, so generations, right? So what we impact today, what we give today, you know, we reap tomorrow. So think like, yes, you'll make a difference today, immediately, but think 5 years from now. There's going to be more teenagers walking around here than ever before. Think 5 years after that, 10 years from now. They're going to be couples meeting and marrying each other just because we have provided a safe place for them to actually come, know and enjoy God, find their purpose and make a difference.
So cool. And yesterday we celebrated a wedding of a couple that actually met in church here. And so how cool is that? So that's a reality even now, and we're just praying that would continue. Well, let's put our hands together for the team here. Done an amazing job. And I'm going to